faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. That sounds like, to me, that if God buried Moses and didn't want anybody to find his body in the plains of Moab, then nobody's going to find it. And if God took Enoch home to be with him or wherever he took him, then his persecutors may search for him, his friends may search for him, but they will not find him because God took him. He was not found because God had translated him. For before his testimony, he had this, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You know, if you wanted to read Enoch's biography, it only occupies a few lines in the Old Testament. You can find his whole biography, the whole story of Enoch's life in the Old Testament, that is, in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. He was the son of Jared, and he had a son, among other children, named Methuselah, a well-known personage in the scripture who lived to be the oldest man that ever lived, 969 years. Isn't it something? Nobody's ever lived to be 1,000 years old. But this man was the closest to approach that 1,000-year lifespan. But there's a millennium coming, and we're going to rule and reign with him 1,000 years. Kind of a guarantee, isn't it? Praise the Lord. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. How long have you walked with God today? Oh, I'm so tired with the journey. Oh, I'm so worn out from the battle. I don't think I can make it in. Oh, the world is so much worse today than it was in Enoch's time. Wrong. Wrong. Read the whole account. Oh, I walked with God 2 years, Tom. I don't know how I can go another step. I hope the rapture takes place today. Oh, I'll never make it. 300 years. Enoch walked with God 300 years. After he begat Methuselah and begat sons and daughters, he was a normal human being. He had a wife. He had a family. He had the same trials, troubles, tribulations, and problems that we have. And yet he walked with God. He overcame to the degree, to the point that he was translated, taken right out. Praise the Lord. Oh my. Let's quit our complaining and get on our knees and say, God, forgive me. God, have mercy on me. God, help me. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. That is not an option to the Christian. That's a command. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be excessively filled with the Spirit. Be drunk on the Holy Ghost. You make it. You walk with God 300 years. Praise the Lord. If you don't die first, then you'll be with him. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And doesn't this sound different than some of the biographies, obituaries, and eulogies that we read today? I don't mean to make fun of people, but I have an obituary with me here this morning. This is a friend of mine that died at age 52, Osseo. His name was Harold somebody. And it says, died Saturday at Abbott Northwestern Hospital, Minneapolis. He was born in Osseo and married Bernice somebody, January 22, 1951, in Crown Point, Indiana. He is an Army veteran. Oh, here's the obituary. He is an Army veteran and a past commander of Carl Nelson Post for the American Legion in Osseo. He was 10th District Commander of the American Legion. He is past master of the Osseo Lodge No. 213, ambassador for the Zora Shrine Temple, past president of the ALC Bowling League. He owned and operated Osseo Refrigeration Service for many years. Okay, there's an obituary. Other obituaries, a typical obituary, so-and-so died on such and such a date. He graduated from the University of you-know-where in 19-you-know-when. with a BA degree and received his MA degree at UW-Madison in the year 19, so on. He began his career teaching in 19-something and was chairman of the math department from 19-this to 19-that. From 19-something else to 19-something else, he taught algebra and general business at blank high school. From 19 to 19-something, he taught radio mechanics for the War Department at Truax Field and Scott Air Force Base. He returned to Eau Claire after the war, and until 19-something, he taught world history and was a class counselor and worked as chief tester at blank blank, and he was a member of several guidance and professional organizations. But when you read the eulogy, the obituary, no, not the obituary, the eulogy or whatever, the biography, we should say, of Enoch in the Bible, you don't read one word of Enoch's accomplishments, because they don't mean one thing to God, and they won't mean one thing in heaven. You can have been the president of this or that, or the owner of this and that. You could have been the richest or one of the richest men in the world. It won't mean a thing on God's record book in heaven. It doesn't mean a thing to God. Praise the Lord. Not one word of Enoch's worldly accomplishments. Just that he had children, and that one of them figured in the genealogy of Jesus, as you can read in Luke chapter 3, verse 37. Take note, Enoch walked with God and was not found. Praise the Lord. We need to walk with God, and one day we won't be found. We're going to, as Brother Marsh used to say, we'll be gone. Old Brother Marsh from Canada used to come and preach up on Water Street, and it was so exciting to hear him preach. He'd be preaching away, and he'd just say, and Jesus is going to come, and we're all going to be gone, just like that. He's the one that used to lay on the floor and talk in tongues and tickle his stomach and laugh in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Oh, my. I'll tell you, this Pentecostal way, this Pentecostal truth, it's the best in my life. I love it. I love being filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. But anyway, why don't we get concerned about our biographies right now and quit trying to be somebody in this world, but rather try to do something for the kingdom of God and be something in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. We don't need the acclaim of men. We don't need their compliments. No, 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 no. They'll probably throw eggs and tomatoes and stones at you. That's what happened to the real Christians in the scripture. We're not asking for that. We're not persecution lovers. I've said it before. What do you do if you're persecuted in this city? Jesus said, flee to the next. He didn't say, stand there and say, oh, hit me again. I just love being hit on the head with rocks, you know. He didn't say that at all. That's not in the scripture. If they persecute you in this city, flee to the next. But when you go there, keep preaching the gospel wherever you go. When the persecution came upon the early church, the Bible says they went everywhere. All the saints went everywhere, preaching the word, not building a big name for themselves. That's unimportant to God. It's unimportant to the record books in heaven. Praise the Lord. So there's not one word of Enoch's worldly accomplishments, just that he had children here on this earth and that he walked with God. That's the main thing. Will it be said of you and me when the rapture takes place that we walked with God? That's what's important. Did we walk with God? And the Bible intimates, I think, it says he was not found. Those words, to me, suggest that they looked all over for Enoch and they couldn't find him. They went here, they went there, and they could not find him. He was not found because God had translated him. God took him. Praise the Lord. He was translated. According to Webster, translate means to convey to heaven without death. And before his translation, Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. And we too must have this testimony that we please God. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Faith. He had faith. And faith causes us to long for fellowship with God. If we really have faith, we long to have fellowship with God. Enoch had that fellowship with God. Job cried out in faith, oh, that I knew where I might find him. He longed for that fellowship with God. And we use that verse in our Search for Truth home Bible studies. And Paul said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count my biography here on earth, apart from pleasing God, but dung. I count all my worldly accomplishments but dung. That beautiful biography, partial biography that he wrote about himself. I'm an Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm a Pharisee, as touching the righteous which is in the law, blameless, and so on and so on. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Oh my, what a record he had. He counted it all dung. That's what he said. That I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Then he goes on in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, and so on. That's what Paul's talking about. This faith that he had caused him to long for fellowship with God. And it should do the same thing in every one of us. Do you long for fellowship with God? If you don't, you better check up on your faith. Because faith will cause you to want to fellowship with God. Too many women are on the telephone having fellowship with gossiping women, and they need to be on their knees and in their Bibles with God, longing for fellowship with him. Too many women are spending too much time. I say women because they're the guilty ones. Too many hours a day on the telephone destroying other people's faith when they should be sitting or kneeling before an open Bible with tears staining the pages of that holy book as they are longing for a deeper fellowship with God Almighty. Is that all right? Amen. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let me hear the lady shout amen.
Amen.
Let me hear the men shout amen.
Amen.
Ooh, there's a difference in the volume there. Huh? All the ladies again.
Amen.
All the men again.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We got something good going here. Let's keep it going. Amen. Wouldn't it be nice, husbands, to come home from work and instead of hearing from your wife, you know what so-and-so told me today? Instead of hearing that, you hear from your wife, oh, honey, you know what the Lord showed me today? Look at here. And the husband comes and he looks at that Bible and it's tear-stained. Puts his arms around his wife, they fall on their knees. Have you ever done that in the kitchen before you ate supper? Try it sometime. Oh God, we're so thankful, we're so grateful. Oh Lord, I thank you for my wife who has spent this day drawing closer to you. Faith causes us to long for fellowship with God. Praise the Lord. Faith makes us faithful. Genesis, the account in Genesis says, that Enoch walked with God for 300 years after he begat Methuselah. And someone objects and says, but things are different now than they were then. And somebody wrote a song and says, Jesus, you know, if you're looking below, it's worse now than then. Pushing and shoving, crowding my mind. I don't know about all that. I've got some arguments that I don't have time to bring out this morning. But we have a tendency to minimize the problems and trials of others and even other generations, and maximize our own. Amen. Anybody wants to write that down, I'll read it again. We have a tendency to minimize the problems and trials of others and maximize our own. Amen. You can be sure that many preceding generations have had it harder, much harder than we are having it now. In fact, extant nations, Russia, Christians in Russia, Christians in Czechoslovakia, Christians behind the different curtains today are suffering. They're meeting in underground churches. They're meeting out in the woods by the river, and they're losing their lives. We still have freedom of religion in America. We talk about a few things that happened to Christian school in Nebraska and how a church was locked by the authorities in charge and so on. And sure, that's all bad, but I didn't read about anybody being killed. I didn't read about anybody being tormented or tortured. Let's not maximize our own trials and problems and minimize those of others. If we compared ourselves with some other Christians, we would probably suffer by comparison. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The problem is not an abundance of trials. This is my point. The problem is a lack of faith. And Jesus said about this generation to which he is coming back in Luke 18:8, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" So I say it again, the problem is not an abundance of trials. The problem is a lack of faith. We need more faith. Faith will cause us to long for fellowship with God, which will increase our faith, and faith will make us faithful. We'll be able to walk with God for the rest of our lives like Enoch did until he was translated. And then, of course, we have the New Testament comment on Enoch, and that is Luke 3:37, where the genealogy is given. And then we have Jude 14 and 15. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, take the genealogy and count down. He made sure that we knew which Enoch he was talking about, because somebody else could have had the name Enoch. And so he says, the seventh from Adam. And you can go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and your finger will land on Enoch in the Bible. Prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh. Oh, he was a prophet. He prophesied, at least. Prophesied of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Praise God. Praise the Lord. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death. Can you imagine that? Not see death. And was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Faith makes us righteous. The righteousness which is of God by faith, Philippians 3:9 says. And Paul went on and said, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. Praise the Lord. Under the law, we obey God out of fear. But under faith, we obey God out of love. Hallelujah. We need faith. Amen. Enoch lived in an advancing material society, just like we're living in, yet he pleased God. And I maintain that we can please God. We can overcome all of those temptations that loom before us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we need to come to that place. We want to be translated. We want to be raptured. We want to be ready when Jesus comes. We need to be ready before he comes. Praise the Lord. I asked this question myself. Why didn't Enoch see death when Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto men once to die? You know what lack of faith does? It asks questions. Asking questions is fine. That's not a lack of faith. But questioning God is a lack of faith. Asking questions does not indicate a lack of faith. Oh, Lord, you know? But when you ask a question challenging God, or you question God's righteousness in his decisions, in what he does, that shows a blatant lack of faith. Really, it does. Okay? But anyway, as I read other material, I found out that other people had asked the same question. Why didn't Enoch see death when Hebrews 9:27 states that it is appointed unto men once to die? Well, it's been suggested, I read, that in Revelation chapter 11, where you read of the two witnesses that witness on the earth and are killed, were Enoch and Elijah. And this is where Hebrews 9:27 is fulfilled. They weren't killed during their lifetime here on earth, or the days of their sojourning here on earth, but they were taken out, both of them, Enoch in a chariot, a whirlwind, and Elijah, and Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Just think, he didn't die. They never held a funeral on him. They never even had a memorial service on him. If they did, it was mockery, because he did not see death. He was translated that he should not see death. Praise the Lord. So when we ask the question, why didn't Enoch see death when the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that the judgment? Well, number one, it's appointed unto men once to die is the general rule. Do you know anybody today 900 years old? 365 years old? No hands up. No hands. Does anybody know anybody 200 years old? No hands up. Some have probably lived, outside of antediluvian times before the flood, but now, in our day, in our generation, AD, since the cross particularly, Who knows of anybody that's lived over like 200 and some years? I've read of somebody that lived to be 200 years old. I don't know how authentic that is, but in our day, we've heard of some people of different nationalities living to be like 130. Some of the, how do you say it, Himalayas, the Himalaya mountain areas, some people that have lived to way past 100 years old in good health. Well, but that's the general rule, and the exception does not disprove the rule. The exception proves that the rule holds good. The fact that only two men didn't die doesn't disprove the rule. It proves the rule is very strong. You know, you have to consider things like that, along with this other that's been suggested, that maybe Enoch is one of the two witnesses killed in Revelation 11:17. They didn't see death here on earth, and so they come back as two witnesses, as recorded in their names are not given, but there are two witnesses that come and give their testimony, and they are killed. And so that way, everybody fulfills Hebrews 9:27. Well, these guesses may all be wrong, as far as I'm concerned. Enoch and Elijah never died. Those are the facts. Now, Lazarus and the widow of Nain's son, and Jairus' daughter, all were raised from the dead, but they died again, obviously. Okay, Enoch and Elijah never died. Lazarus and a few others died, resurrected, and died again. But there's only one person that can say, I am he that liveth and was dead. Who else can say that? Enoch can't say that. Elijah can't say that. Lazarus can't say that. The widow of Nain's son can't say that. Jairus' daughter can't say that. Only one person can say, I am he that liveth. I am he that was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Praise the Lord. What a message. What a message. Jesus, what a Savior. And by the way, and you've heard me say that so many times, that Jesus is the only one that ever pleased God. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I have said this from this pulpit before, that I have baptized a lot of people in this tank. I don't know how many scores or even hundreds of people that have been baptized in the river and in this tank, and never once, never was thunder from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That was only said over one man once, and that at his baptism, and then on the Mount of Transfiguration again. This is my beloved Son. One, his only begotten Son. That's not you, that's not me. But when he died, when he went into the grave, when he came forth from the grave, when he was resurrected, when he ascended into heaven, it says he brought many sons unto glory. He made us, who were children of the devil, enemies of God, sons of God, through the power of his life and death. Praise the Lord in his resurrection. Hallelujah. Verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so, that verse is telling us, just in case somebody has an argument against my statement that only one man ever pleased God, essentially, only one man ever pleased God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and that means, what I mean by that is, the only way you and I can please God is through faith. Only way we can please God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. When I said nobody else ever pleased God but Jesus, somebody questioned me immediately and said, what about Enoch? The Bible says Enoch pleased God. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But he did not please God without faith. He was born in sin, just like you and I were born in sin. But he had this testimony that he pleased God through faith. Through faith, because the next verse just absolutely establishes that as unalterable fact. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently please him. So apart from faith, Abel, nor Enoch, nor anyone else can please God. The Lord is looking for faith. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find? Find indicates that he is searching, he is looking for faith. It is extremely important that you and I grow in faith, because, and the Bible says, here's how you do it. Faith cometh through hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to read that scripture. We need to devour the scripture, love that scripture, praise the Lord, and build up our faith in the most holy God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, unbelief is the very antithesis of faith. Does everybody know what antithesis means? Antithesis means the very opposite. Unbelief is the very opposite of faith. The very antithesis of faith. Antithesis, antithesis of faith. And I wrote down some things here this morning. Lack of faith manifests itself. You can tell when a man doesn't have faith. A lack of faith manifests itself in rebellion against God's authority. God said it, but I'm not going to do it. You know why? Because you don't believe it. You don't really believe God said it and God meant it, or you would fear God. Okay? Lack of faith questions God's goodness. If there's a God of love, how come he allows wars? How come he allows all these injustices in the world? How come he allows child abuse? If there's a God of love, you know what that's an indication of? That's an indication of unbelief, of a lack of faith. A lack of faith questions God's goodness. Number three, a lack of faith denies the truth of God's word. A lack of faith will question God's motives. A lack of faith will deny the very truth of God's word. Number four, a lack of faith causes one to behave as though God were not there. Ah, the Lord doesn't see. That's what they said in the Bible. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and cheat a little bit. Go ahead and tack a little extra on the price. Go ahead and do something that's not quite honest. A little gray stuff. A little gray lie. White lie, they call them. A lack of faith causes one to believe as though God were not there. When you conduct your daily business, friend, when you conduct your daily, I wouldn't want anybody to misunderstand me. A good word comes to my mind. I don't dare use it because of this generation's destruction of good words. And I read so much old English that, but anyway, in our daily doings with people, are we honest? Are we honest? If we are not, it's an indication of our lack of faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible to please God. Men without faith are those who attempt to suppress the truth about God. We don't have time this morning, but read Romans 1, verses 18 and on. If you want to read about men without faith, you will discover that men without faith are those who attempt to suppress the truth about God. And oh my, how many illustrations could we bring to light this morning? Our text says, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. To choose not to believe in God, to choose not to believe in his goodness, is to sever the lifeline between the creator and the creature. And do you know what that means? That means the result is that we lose the very meaning and purpose of our existence. When we sever the lifeline between us creatures and our creator, God, we lose the very meaning, we lose the very purpose of our existence. And that's why we have all these courses, philosophy too, where, and wondering, where did we come from? Where did we come from? If you have faith, you won't wonder anymore. It'll all be settled. Praise the Lord. So in the words of Paul in Ephesians 2, to be without God in the world is to be without hope in the world. The next verse, Hebrews 11, verse 7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith.